إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله in the continuation of the series How to Build the Muslim Family. Regardless if this rules, if you are living in a Muslim culture or non-Muslim culture, they are the same rules. Okay, now this series has been going on for quite some time. Now we reach the point that the man, the Muslim man and the Muslim woman, now they got married and they already preparing for the house, and now they are looking for the neighborhood, and I talked about how the neighborhood should look like, and now even what's inside home should look like. How they, what kind of furniture they supposed to have, what is supposed to be contained within their house. We found out that it is highly recommended to have, plus the furniture that you have and all of these things, you have a specific place for prayer, a little masjid or masallah, and you have a library. It has in this library the knowledge in all kind of levels. And because you're going to have to teach everyone in your family the word Iqra, read. Now we want to, before we talk inshallah about the rights and obligations of the husband and the wife, before Allah bless them and give them the children, I want them to have some role model and a common understanding to a certain rules. It comes right on the top of the list, which is, we know now, it is from the nature of the marriage contract. The marriage contract, it is two Muslims, man and woman. They are committing themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they will help each other to be a better Muslim. That's the purpose of the marriage contract. Helping each other to be a better Muslim. Now the contract took place. And now we are going to exclude the program. Exclude the things. The dilemma of the Muslims as individual and as a family and as a ummah is what? Sometimes we have or we don't have the idea. Sometimes if we have the idea, we have the commitment. But when we come to exclude, we say it is not the right time. Or when things get better, I will do it. Or. So we stop in the execution. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gonna... Al-A'mal. It's not what you only say. You say and what you do, that's what it counts. So it comes right on the top of the list. Now, you appointed the date of wedding and whatever that is. Fine, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But you have to keep in mind, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. The first thing it's supposed to be is what? We are building now the immune system, defense around that home. That means what? In the Muslim home, there is no tolerance to act of disobedience from anyone. Who is responsible for that? Who? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. All who believed. The man believed and the woman believed, so they both responsible. Not one responsible, or one gonna say, both responsible. And that's go to the nature of the contract. But like I said, anything that happened, it takes three stages. Understanding, the commitment, and after that, the application. We want to take physical good application. Look at it this way. Regardless what the size and the magnitude of your responsibility, for a second, imagine the magnitude of your responsibility and the challenges you're having and the obstacles that you're having and the magnitude and the challenge of the responsibility and all the resentment that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Did Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliver or he didn't. He did. He did, so we need to know how. If we know how he did it, we would have been able to follow footsteps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. So if you really want to do the good job, do what? Follow the footsteps of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Following the footsteps of Sayyidina Muhammad is not only leading that you will do the right thing and accomplish your goal, but will lead to Allah love. How much you are willing to give, and what is it that you are willing to give to just somebody come and tell you Allah love you? Not Allah accept you or Allah pardon you. Allah love you. Is there any price tag on this? No. So this is, we need to look at the Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here, and we put him right in our head. Please, I want to get one point out to be clear from the beginning. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did the turban and the jibab and how's the centimeter of how big is the beard, and he went 45 degrees to enter the masjid by his right foot or by the left foot. Please. This is all, I'm not going to even say minority, minor things even to look at. I'm not going to even put it into consideration. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was building a human being. Not a turban and jilbab and abaya and all of that stuff. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the magnitude of his responsibility and the challenges, and see how he lived his life. And probably if you go through the footsteps that he did, probably in his daily life, you will do the same thing or something very close to what he did. Most likely you will, inshallah, will be successful. First, Sayyidina Muhammad, we need to know right out from the beginning that he did have a program. He had a daily program. That means there is nothing can be accomplished, right? By without having a program. Think about it. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wake up before the Fajr prayer. Before the Fajr prayer. And prepare for it. To be honest with you, I saw when I was reading in this area, I saw in the beginning, like what you're going to see on the khutbah today, before every single prayer, the word, the writer, used to put the word prepare for it. Prepare for it. The first impression that came to me is preparing for the prayer is making wudu. Make wudu to make a prayer. Till after that, I found out that it is a complete different ball game. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preparing for the prayer completely different. Not only by the wudu, but by something else, inshallah, I will talk about it on the khutbah. So the first thing, he would wake up. The first thing in his mind and his soul, zikrillah. Nothing in his mind but zikrillah. Why zikrillah? And the Quran. And he got all the guarantee that he is not going to forget the Quran. And he is the messenger of Allah and he knows that. And. Why zikrillah? Because he wants to make sure that Allah is pleased with him. He wants to start with Allah pleased with him. So the first priority to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was his heart. From the minute he comes out from the dead, the temporary dead state, which is sleep, to awakeness, is Allah pleased with me. And he was preparing by zikr, istighfar. And you all know famous hadith, and they are more than one, and they are authenticated, that he will seek forgiveness and tawbah more than 100 times a day. So that's the first thing, and he prepared for it. Once the sun come out, the Fajr come out, he will go out for the Fajr prayer. And after the Fajr prayer, he will not sit down and lay and rest, or he's going to go back. But what he going to do, he's going to sit down also to continuation of zikrullah till the sun come out. The minute that the sun come out, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, he would do two rak'ah, the salatu shuruq, sunnah. Okay, you do not how valuable these two rak'ahs. They are so valuable to the point that Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam said about them, that they, no one is able to do them but a siddiq, a genuine, sincere believer. How about if we make habit of making this two rak'ah? Only two rak'ah. And after that, after he finished this two rak'ah, he will go home. And he will have his breakfast. And what is usually his breakfast is either the milk or the top. It will be either one of those. Immediately in the priority, remember, look at the digress now, what he is doing, his day is coming. Number one, Allah is number one. From the minute he wake up, he is in a state of zikr, istighfar, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, he goes and what? He is going, after shuruq, he is going to his home, to look after the needs of his family. And these needs of his family is not only sit down and see whom is doing what, whom is healthy and whom is sick and whom is doing what. No, needs of his family that need food, drink, furniture need to be fixed, that need to be done, shopping need to be done. Sayyidina Muhammad did not say, when I have a time I will do it. I have a big responsibility. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I need to devote my time. Leave me alone. He did not say that. By himself, every single day in that period, it belonged to his household. He will go and check on his family and the needs of his family. And after that, he will go out for shopping to his family. And the period between shuruq and the dhuhr prayer, he dedicated that time to finish the what his family needs, adding to it, meeting the people. Anybody want to meet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the time to meet him. That is the time to meet him. After that, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go back and again the word prepare for dhuhr prayer. He now put himself in a state of preparing for dhuhr prayer. When the time of the dhuhr prayer, he comes, he used to take a little nap, either before he goes out to the dhuhr prayer or after he comes from the dhuhr prayer. He will do either one. And he will go back again. But this time, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the dhuhr prayer, he is going to look after the affairs of his family. In the first one, it was what? The needs of his family. Now it is he's sitting down with his family. Now he is the father, he is the husband, he is the family man. That is the time for it. The family man is in between that time. And after that, it will come the time to prepare for the Asr prayer. And when the Asr prayer will come, he will go out for the Asr prayer. After finishing the Asr prayer, what he will do? That is the time of his rahim and his companion. He go and visit his relatives. Because he knows that the Asr time is the more convenient time for everybody. So that's the time he goes. And for his companion and for his relative, somebody said he's going to go and check on him, somebody this, somebody that, he's going to go and look after everybody. And it is also education time. Anybody from the Sahaba going to sit down and ask, going to learn, going to do this, that is the time that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam devoting to that. And for his Sahaba, he looked at it as if also there are his rahim, because they are religious rahim, and he looked after them. And alayhi salatu was salam, he used to eat the Isha, which is the supper, either before the Maghrib, usually, or after the Maghrib in the month of Ramadan. What he eats, we all know. Very, very simple, basic meals. Very basic, simple meals. And he will get himself ready for Salat al-Maghrib. And what's in between the Maghrib and the Isha only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What between the Maghrib and the Isha, only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will prepare for the Isha prayer. It comes the Isha prayer, he will go out for Isha prayer and immediately go home. And he will never recommend it, he will highly recommend it that you go to sleep. Only you wake up if you are in a state of zikr after the Isha. Now why I am telling you this template? Why I'm telling you this progress or this model of Sayyidina Muhammad? So you can find out, okay, how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided the day. And how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not wait things to happen so he can react. And how he was very balanced. And in his balance, he gave everybody his right. He did not say, I'm dedicated to the da'wah, so lower priority go to my family. I am dedicated to my family, or I'm dedicated to the big family, so the other people that they come, everyone got his right out of Sayyidina. And after the Isha, he will see. Now, the challenge that you and I have, based on what you heard from me, how far you are in sync with Sayyidina Muhammad? How far are we? In a lot of time, especially the people in their business, or in their, they are seeking education, or seeking even professionalism, they spend hours and hours and hours and hours. And somebody has to give in. The family gave in. The children gave in. Family gave in. I don't want to leave this point before I tell you a true story that I really respect. I haven't seen this family for at least 25 years, if not 30 years. But I still respect very much. And in my heart, I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this family. This family, they were applying that tradition. It was a young engineer from Pakistan, he was working in the Navy Yard, and his wife. And he had, I think, that time, 3 boys and 2 girls, 5 children. We heard in the neighborhood that between the Maghrib and Isha, that's Allah time. So what the woman is doing, the mom is doing, between the Maghrib and the Isha, she brings the kids around her and sit down and teach them the Quran and the interpretation and talk about all the aspects of religion, the purification, Salah. They check them out every single day in the Maghrib, to the point where she does not accept guests in that time. We respect that, like that. Okay, no problem. One day, out of a blue sky, well, subhanAllah, that young man died in less than a week. He was out, completely out. From a top health young man, have all the promises, very educated, very good job, name it, he was completely out. We are talking about the man got sick, I think on Monday, he was out on Wednesday. The first time we got together, so we're going to go and pay our condolences, it was on Friday evening. And on Friday, we asked the permission to go and to pay our condolences to her. And it was, I didn't notice in that time, it was after the Maghrib prayer. And she said, with honor, she said, please, no, I will expect the community or the people that they wouldn't come, they come next day. They come, I think that was going to be Saturday. Next day, I think it was about 10 or 11 o'clock. Okay, fine, we went. And after that, one of the sisters, she was asking her, I mean, do you need anything or anything that we can do? And the first reaction, I don't need anything because of love. That was my point. And she said, why you did not accept? I mean, we were in the neighborhood yesterday and some of us wanted to come. And she said, because in my family, the tie between Maghrib and Isha belongs to Allah. In a case of death, and she's a young mother, she needs all kind of support, people around her. She did not compromise the time of Allah between the Maghrib and the Isha. None. And if she is not willing to compromise for the death of her husband and the father of her children, she will never do it for anybody. This woman didn't talk much, but she did much. I wonder, I'm not in touch with this family. 5 children, been raised and saw a demonstration day in and day out that the time between the Maghrib and Isha belong to Allah only. What they gonna come out with? When every one of them or her will have his own family, they haven't got transferred from 1 to 5. After another 20 years, the grand, they have to be transferred. And this is how the Muslim family act. And right, this is the value of having Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. Homes of the Muslim, they are the homes that where is no disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. The second thing, that you can see the landmark, you can see the footsteps, you can see the impact of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house or in that home before anybody opened his mouth. That's the Muslim. And that's what we are after. Don't misunderstand me. You can have a swimming pool, one indoor, one outdoor. If you can have a mansion, have it. If you can have more than one, and Allah bless you, who will stop you? No one will stop you, but do it legal and do it right. No problem. No problem at all. Look at the Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu alayhi, and others and others and others. But they never compromised Allah. So, what I'm bringing to you today is looking at the attitude of Sayyidina Muhammad in a daily basis. How far or how close are you and your family from it? Are you closer or are you far? In a lot of cases, we start, what they say, we start living after the Isha. All kind of watching television, all kind of going out, all kind of doing this and all of that, doing with that. Where is Zikrillah? In the time of Sayyidina Muhammad, he said, Ya Rabbi, Inna qawmi tarku hadha al-Qur'ana mahjur. He was not there. Where is the Qur'an in your life? And I'm not going to say, where is the Quran in your life? I'm going to try to be very precise. I'm not talking to you now, I'm talking to myself. Where is the Quran in your daily life? In every single day life? So please, look at what you do. And look at what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How he fulfilled his mission, and how he fulfilled his responsibility. And what he did in any given day. And sit down, take time, think around. What you are doing in your life, is it you only act when things happen? Or you know things going to happen and you let it happen, you don't care? Or you go down there and make things happen? Successful people, they are not coming from the moon. And if you take them to the lab, they have the same genes like you and I. The only difference between successful people and non-successful people, they are from the third category. They make things happen. They don't react. They don't make things happen and after that they will react. Or you see things happening or let things happening. But they make things happen. And that was one of the main attitudes of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what we have to really pay attention to. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. And forgive all our sin and all our shortcomings and all our mistakes. And give us a brand new start. And help us to understand the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teaching of the Holy Quran and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and die in peace and in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Inna alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. In the summary of this khutbah, brothers and sisters, the summary of it is the answer to the question how سيدنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام met his responsibility. because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only tell him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that means this is your responsibility. But in another, he says, what? وَصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. In another, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ. That means what? Ya Muhammad, this is serious. And you don't have options. If you have too much pressure in your job, what you can do? You can quit. And he couldn't compromise either. So how he did it? Like I said, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did it by first, he was preparing himself spiritually and psychologically in every single prayer to liqa'illah. And that's what I understood after that from preparing for the next prayer. In the beginning I thought it is wudu, but I found out it is not the issue of wudu, because we know in the purification you can, and he did, pray more than one prayer by one wudu. So where is this preparation coming from? The preparation is he get himself, preparing himself. After a few minutes, I will stand up in the prison of Allah. What did I do before? From the Fajr till the Dhuhr prayer. What was wrong? What was right? What I can do better? And you see what? And he's seeking forgiveness. And making his zikr. And not taking everything for granted. And he says also part of the preparation it was, if this is my last, how I will do it. It's like a case, a lawyer is standing up in front of the judge and he says, the last 5 minutes that I have to tell the judge that I am innocent, or my client is innocent, and after that the process will take away. I'm not going to keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. Sayyidina Muhammad, part of the key of his success, that every single time he stand up to pray, that was the last one for him. And there is a lot of hadith to back up that up. If you wake up, don't ever think about that you're going to spend the night, or you're going to live to the night, and if you live to the night, don't think that you're going to live to the front. You know, the limitation of the time on the khutbah, please forgive me, but you know what I'm talking about and what I'm trying to lead to. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is number one. The case is closed. Everything he does after that, it was what? Revolve around that. So he did prepare himself to charge himself from the prayer to the other. So the first, he prepared himself to the prayer. And after that, he will charge himself the distance between. Part of this evaluation he is doing is review what he did. What did I do between the Maghrib and Isha? What did I do between the Asr and the Maghrib? What did I do between the Zuhr and the Maghrib? And he is not waiting. He is only reviewing what he did last. Because in the last, he already reviewed what it was up, and he is now doing the correction. I did this right, can I do it better? And if this is my, I did that good, can I do better? If this is my last chance, is that better? Is that the best that I can have? And also, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never faced any issue. Forgive me for I may take 5 more minutes on the khutbah, because it is very important for to share with you those. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never faced one single issue in his life alone. All the time, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in constant seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when you do something, say, I'll see you after lunch, see you after dinner. You see that? I'm acting alone. But Sayyidina Muhammad, inshallah. Inshallah. Allah present with Sayyidina Muhammad all the time. And he seeks the help of Sayyidina Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. How he can get depressed. He can get fear. He can get disappointed. He can get weak. And if he knows he work for Allah and Allah with him, how it gonna work? When you work by your own, you are on your own. If you work by your own, the limitation of what you can do is what the limitation what you have. But you work for Allah, and you work by the permission of Allah, you show me who can stop you. And what is it can stop you? Nothing. You are working for the one who said, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He got that power. He never gave up. He never get depressed. He never said enough is enough. And also, part of this ista'ana billah, seeking, he know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sunnah. Part of the sunnah to get the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be under the umbrella of His mercy, to be under this defense system, you have to be in a state of obedience, not the state of disobedience. The minute you are in a state of disobedience, you are outside the umbrella of the mercy. Whomever want to go on his own, divert from what the believer, and Sayyidina Muhammad said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Nuwallihi ma tawalla. You want to defend on yourself? You want to get out? Get out. And you get the consequence of that later. Now and later. So Sayyidina Muhammad knows that all the time, he has to be under this defense system. Under the defense system. And the only way to stay under the defense system is what? By total unconditional obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No compromise, no responding to pressure, no giving in to anybody, no to trick, no to deal, no to sell, no to cut deals, no to do this and to do that. This is the truth. I am for it. Here it is. Take it or leave it. Allahumma ashhad anni qad ballaght. That's part of the power. The second, ar-ridha bi qada'illah. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me. Hardship or prosperity, he accepted. Losing his loved ones, accepted. Betrayed, all kind of betrayal, accepted. Dealing with problems beyond, accepted. Why? Because he had a confidence in Allah's mercy. And he accepted what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. If it is coming from Allah, alhamdulillah. You can see a good example to that. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But I'm sure that most of you know it. Is when he lost his son Ibrahim. What did he say? And he kept going. He did not only depend on Allah and he said, okay, when there is a problem, Allah will send the angels and now I relax. No. He said, this is my responsibility. That's what Allah chose me for. I'm going to do the best as a human being. So Allah, he did like what he did what? To fulfill his, the bottom line, he now proactive. He did not say, I'm going to sit down and wait till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal angel to help me to defeat the people in Mecca, or to defeat this, or to help me to propagate this, or to send me this to do that. I am only one person. What is it that I can do? No, he was proactive. And here, he, like I said, not only proactive, but he was a manager. He divided his day to three basic segments. Three major segments. I know that your daily life can be different from his, but it is a time to think about it and get those three segments, please, to your life on a daily basis. How you're going to manage it is up to you. The first segment is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best one explained to us about this segment and the attitude of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Sayyidina Aisha radhiyallahu anha. She said, when Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipping Allah, he doesn't know anyone and no one know. That means you come and talk to him, you're not going to see any response. Leave him alone. Once he stand up for Allahu Akbar or for zikr, he cut the relationship with anybody else. His mind and soul and his faculty, the whole entire faculty is for what? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. The second, for his own immediate family. He knows that he is the custodian. He knows that he is the one who caretaker. He did not say, delegate somebody to do this, let somebody do the shopping, let somebody fix the chair, or let somebody solve this problem. He by himself, he was present for his family. He was present for his children. He was present for his wife. And he did not allow him as a messenger and his obligation to the nation to take from the family. So family time is an act of worship of the Muslim family. The third segment is for al-Rahim, for the people. And those people, they can be his blood, or he can be the companion and the believer. He goes out for them, educate them, look after their needs, look after what they want. So Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was successful because he did that. So now when we are coming in to have a family and we are about to start the family, may Allah bless the bride and the groom and let them have a good time and let them have the honeymoon and everything. But when you come back now to fill the family, start to plan for this family and start to plan it right. The head of the household is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not you, Mr., and not you, Mrs. The one who will never be obeyed, disobeyed in that home is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are two partners helping each other. You are two partners, according to the marriage contract, helping each other to be more obedient. So that means for men, they have to think about what are their roles in the family and the rights and obligations, inshallah, that's the next football. And for women also have to think about what are the roles of the family, rights and obligations. But both of them, they have to come up with the same route. The man died, the example that I gave you, who took over? The wife. And actually, when the man was alive, both of them, they were doing it together. Maghrib to Isha is Allah. You want to wake up before the Fajr like what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It's up to you. But you need to know what is his example, and you need to trigger yourself to that direction. I am not going to talk about the family issues and the family problems and what we have, but it is not too late. It never been too late. One thing I know for fact, if you really work for Allah and if you want to do it and you're doing it for the cause of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make people respond. and make the hearts of other people hear what is your heart saying. So never give up on your spouse, never give up on your relatives, and never give up on your children. Never. And when to start doing that? Today and now is an excellent time to start. Today and now is an excellent time to start. Sayyidina Luqman never gave up on his family. And we know that his wife and his son, they were tyrants. They are not only disbelievers, but they were something else. Sayyidina Luqman never gave up. Ya Bunay, ya Mushir. He never gave up. And inshallah, we will never give up on our families. We will never give up. And if you give love, you get love. And you work for Allah, there is no way to lose. And I hope inshallah we all will be winners in this life and after. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our parents, bless our families, and help us to be a better head of a household, and help us to give the new generations a better opportunities and a lot more chances so they can come to be inshallah a very good Muslim and better Muslim inshallah ta'ala. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.